Welcome to Dramas with a Side of Kimchi, the fangirl party every drama fan wants to join. Grab your kimchi and face masks and let's chat Asian dramas. I'm Drama Geek.
I'm Carrie the Mockney.
I'm K-Drama Jen.
And I'm CL Keita. Don't forget that we have a Patreon page. We have a monthly episode we release exclusively for our patrons. Our patrons also get an exclusive invitation to our Discord server, where we chat daily about the dramas we're watching, participate in group watches, and support each other in our drama addiction. You can find the link in your show notes.
Oh boy, oh boy. Here we are. We are going to launch into part two of the Marry My Husband podcast. And boy, do we have so much to talk about. So if you didn't listen to the first one, go on back, listen to that, finish up watching the drama, and then come back and hear what we have to say about the second half of Marry My Husband.
Yes, do that. In other words, spoilers, all the spoilers all the immediately. We are not holding back.
Nope.
All right. So let's just launch into this. Now that our OTP understands that they have to pass off their futures to the other people, they begin their attempts to get Min Won and Su Min together. So evil tool of a husband and evil ex-bestie. Did this story arc work for us? Okay, so it's one of those things that I struggled with because I'm like, I'm kind of the forgive and forget and best revenge is living life happily and stuff. But this made sense because these were terrible, terrible people that actually murdered her. And so it was kind of keeping her safe by giving them her fate. I don't know. I was so torn and it was kind of complicated. But I think in the end, it worked for me.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, this gave us a lot of really entertaining scenes. So I definitely was on board because of that. I still was kind of like, guys, are we sure that this is how this is supposed to work? Because right. She's drawing a really big conclusion based on the fact that he got her burn and she still tripped and fell over the paper or whatever it was. I mean, I feel like we are really jumping to lots of conclusions about how this world is supposed to work based on very little evidence. But that aside, I actually did really enjoy just the whole process of them getting them together. And as you said, like, they were not good people. And so it felt a little icky to me just thinking about it in terms of, like, she kind of thought that she needed them to get together so that her bestie would die instead of her. That didn't really sit well with me, and it felt a little out of character for her. But then again, she had been murdered in her, you know, previous timeline. So maybe that changes you, and you are like you said, we want to kind of, it's self-preservation in a way. Mm-hmm. So did it work for me? It did work, because I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed all of their hijinks.
Oh, I don't even care about the whole story arc. With the whole future thing, I don't care about that. I totally forgot that they were actually out to get them together for that. I just thought that evil deserves evil. I mean, I wanted to see them two get together, and they were so perfect for each other. I was just waiting to see who was going to drink the poison drink. I mean, I never thought anything bad about her trying to get the, you know, Min Won and Su Min together. I felt like Su Min deserved every single thing that she got. And I kind of was gleeful about all the moments where she had to suffer because she intentionally caused all this. Mm-hmm. I mean, she did all of this to Ji Won, stepping on her to create a better future. And it was kind of nice to see the tables turned. And in this alternate universe, she's the one who has to pay.
So just be aware, don't cross.
Oh, no, because I believe in an eye for an eye.
Or like one of her friends, right? Because you kind of think of this character.
Oh, I'll take you down. I'll take you down.
She will cut you. Just be careful.
I have been known to trip people in the hallway. I mean, you know, there's no shame in my game.
Watch out, world.
Yeah.
So I was kind of in between where I felt bad for them. I just hated all the instances where she had to get close to him or spend time with him or do anything where, like, and as the show progressed, it more and more showed like he was an abusive husband. His domestic, like his violence against her just kept increasing. And we'll talk about like closer, like stuff that he, I think we'll talk about stuff that he, you know, he does later on. But like, I just, my like protective part of me just wanted her to get away from them, get away from her, him in particular, and like let fate kind of do its own thing. But unfortunately, fate wasn't nice enough to allow them to just back away and let them like kind of implode themselves. So her having to be in such close proximity to both of them, especially her ex-husband, like it just, it was, oh, it was hard to watch every time she was with him. Cause it was just like, ugh, just get away from him. Just, you know, leave and protect yourself. So that I was conflicted with that because I just wanted her to not have to deal with them anymore.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. I would be scared for her every time. Like the more they went along and the darker he got, the more I was just like, you are not safe. Quit doing this.
Exactly. So.
It was also scary at how much people didn't see and didn't want to see.
And I was also, I was just thinking about how Ji-won kind of got dark, but I realized that Ji-won is what Su-min made her in the previous timeline.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Everything she did, she learned from Su-min.
All right. So Yura, the ex-fiance, shows up in the second half of the drama, played by Boa, and just in time to cause a rift in our OTP's relationship. Did we like the addition of this character? Why or why not? Okay. So this is where it started to, my love for this drama started to have some feelings of being tainted a bit, just because I did not think we needed this character. It was, I mean, I think that the evil ex-husband and the evil bestie, like that was enough to really keep this going. And I just felt like having this additional piece in there felt like it was contrived and just not, I don't know. It just didn't work for me the way, because I felt like we had a really good thing going. And then the other piece is that sort of changed their relationship. And I felt like Ji-won started acting really kind of out of character. And she reacted in a funny way to the fact that he had this ex-fiance. So for me, it was sort of like, this is where I was like, oh, what are you doing? Like, come on, show, please pull it back together. which I do think they did. But in that moment, I was like, that didn't work for me. And my understanding is that the webtoon or whatever that this is, she isn't in that. That this is a character that was developed for the drama. So you can kind of feel that, in my opinion.
Oh, it was just crazy pants. I mean, there was there was already a plan. Ji-won was going to be the other woman. And then we go and we bring in this new character and nothing about her fits. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely like you've got a puzzle piece from another puzzle and you're trying to stick it into and make it fit. And it just couldn't fit, wouldn't fit. Ji-won loses her mind and starts acting like a ninny. And I thought it was stupid. Every point of the plot that she participated in would have been better used if Ji-won had been the other woman. She didn't really get to do any real good revenge because the juicy revenge things were given to the Boa character. You know, not that she would have had to sleep with him, she was playing a really good game there because it was more effective to have Ji-won be the one that Min-won was with. That would have hurt Su-min more, man. I should have written this. It was like somebody was like, oh, but I really like Ji-won, and I need to have somebody else be really, really bad. Let's do that.
I her character didn't make sense in almost every one of her actions. Like, I mean, yes, she doesn't like when people take things that are hers. I get it. But then I don't understand why she would have slept with Min-hwan, why she was even interested in him, why she, like, and it wasn't just, oh, I'm using him to get what I want. Like, they tried to make it seem like she was in, like, she was swayed by him, and it was just weird. It was just like, why? I don't know. I feel bad because I like Boa, and you
Me
know,
yeah.
She got a lot of hate, domestic, like in Korea, for her acting, and people did not like this storyline either in Korea. They were like, just get back to the what the show's about, like, stop with all of this stuff. But I just felt her character and anything that had anything to do with, like, her storyline did not make sense. And it also made his grandfather, even though at the end the grandfather was like, okay, I like you, it made his grandfather, like, very unlikable, that he was still trying to push this person that he knew was doing all of these horrible things at his grandson. So I just didn't like her. I didn't think she was necessary. And it was just, yeah, I'm glad that we were able to get back to the original storyline by the end, but her character and all that almost ruined it for me, but it didn't. They were able to kind of get it back on track, but yeah, I did not like her character or her addition.
Okay, so I'm going to diverge from you guys, but only a little bit. I did not like her, but this is where I think the biggest divergence between the webtoon and the drama came, because I was talking to my daughter. She had read the webtoon and loved it. And so we were discussing the differences. And what happened in the webtoon is Soo-min and Min-hwa, like, there's this whole storyline with his mother-in-law being, or his mom being in the hospital, and Soo-min actually ends up murdering her and things like that. And so, like, all of their action moves off stage from Ji-won. And then also our male lead, he has no, like, we know nothing about his past life. Like, it's all about her in the webtoon. So structurally, it makes sense that this kind of bringing the ex-fiance and she's kind of psycho, it's a K-drama way of giving him dimension. I mean, it's very stereotypical for him to have a psychotic ex-fiance who's known him from childhood. I mean, could we throw more tropes in there?
Right.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah. Yeah.
But it balances it out so that he also has a past and it's not all about Ji-won. And it brings it full circle that he still ends up in a car crash because of the ex-fiance. So, like, it kind of, to me, I didn't like her, but narratively it made sense and it made all the puzzle pieces fall together. And so that's why the ending was okay. And I think actually the best part is we have this stereotypical K-drama villain in her, and then she is absolutely trumped by Soo-min. Soo-min wins. And I did not see that coming, but that was actually, as much as I abhor Soo-min, that was kind of an interesting scene where Yoo-ra ended up being powerless in front of this person she regarded as a peasant. So I may not have liked the character, but for me, after some reflection, I think it worked.
I'm not convinced, but okay.
I feel like he could have been given depth and dimension completely different and earlier, to where, because I've read some of the descriptions of the webtoon, like people who have read it and then watched the show and the differences and everything, and they said that his character in the drama was way more three-dimensional and not as, like, because he just didn't have hardly anything other than whatever he was doing for the female lead. So I just think that there were probably different ways to do it, but I can see why the people writing the show were like, well, we have to do something. We have to give him, you know, so, and we're making this a 16 episode drama, so we have to have some other things coming into play there. So,
and Boa is available, and so let's get her back on the
screen. Star power, okay, why not?
Makne, real quick, like, can you please explain why she hooked up with Min-hwan?
Okay, I disagree with her being interested in him at all. She was, to me, she was clearly controlling him. She was using sex as a weapon, straight up.
I mean, he's hot, though.
No.
You don't think he's hot?
Oh, no.
Oh. I mean, him as a character in other stuff, I really like him. I find him to be a great actor, but his personality in this one just made it so like, oh my gosh, I hate you. So it was hard to look at him. But for me, it was more the class. Like, she clearly felt she was above everybody else. And she was definitely like stepping down. But I also feel there was several times, there was the last couple of times, or at least the very last time that she's led with, there was no need for her to keep controlling him in that way. And she still did it. So I think she was maybe not interested in him in as like a partner, but like there was still something. Maybe it was just, she was curious. I don't know. I don't know. There was still, there was toward the end, I was like, are you still sleeping with him? I don't get it. I don't get why you're still like, she was going below her, class, you know. Let's still not trying waste to get over any the more fact. Time on her character and move forward.
I'm just still like, it's interesting that we're divided on how we feel about, I think he's handsome, but I've liked, but he's always been a fun character.
Yeah.
And everything else. So I'm going to, but moving on. So manager Juran finds out that her husband is cheating and she has stomach cancer. She ends up living out Jiwon's future and is saved from death by Jiwon's interference. At this time, she realizes that she has to make her evil ex-bestie and boyfriend take the fate. He had to be willing to let his new wife die. Was this all convoluted? Yes. And of course it was. I mean, we're plotting people's deaths and we're like assigning horrible things to happen to certain characters. I hated the fact that the manager was the one with stomach cancer. I kind of thought that they were going to go the route of what's her name? Su Min. I thought that they were going to go the route of maybe her thinking she was pregnant, and then finding out she had stomach cancer. Because that would have made as much sense to me. But they didn't go there. It was convoluted. That's all I have to say.
See, I think because they showed over and over that Su-min was never going to be like Jiwon. She was never going to treat her mother-in-law the same. She was never going to take care of the family the same way. Like, she wasn't going to be the wife in the hospital with stomach cancer, still being the only breadwinner.
Like, right.
She was going to find a way. She was going to, you know, steal money, payment, and put it in her own bank account and all that. Like, she was going to figure it. So Jiwon's fate going to Su-min, as far as like all of that, it was never going to turn out the same way. So it moving over to somebody who had a very similar personality made sense to me, that like, it, not that, let's be clear, stomach cancer does not go to people who are, you know,
stressed
out.
Like, stressed. Yeah.
We'll put that aside. Stress does not cause, I mean, it might cause ulcers. It can exacerbate it.
Right. Sure.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But like, so it, narratively, the fact that, and she already had a cry, like she had the, we never found out the reason why she left in the original timeline, but I have a feeling it had something to do with her crappy husband and all of that stuff. But so it made sense to me. And it also made them have to be a little bit more active of trying. It gave the OTP a, like, they were trying to save her from the fate. So all of their actions of trying to move it back over to the couple that deserved to go to prison for murder, you know, it made sense, and it made them where they were trying to save somebody instead of just actively trying to kill somebody. So it kind of balanced out and made our OTP not as bad, because again, they were able to save her without moving the fate over possibly, but still, like, they were actively trying to save somebody. So I do think it was all convoluted, but it still worked within the world and the narrative that they had set up.
Yeah, I agree. It balanced out all the dark things that they had to do with Min-won and Su-min. So, I mean, basically, manager Drew Ron, she lived out the timeline, but it was kind of the choose your own adventure where she didn't die, and so she gets a whole new course because of mm-hmm. it. And so I think I'm okay with that. It was convoluted, and this is the part where I struggle in dramas like this, where the characters are just kind of saying, oh, I think I understand the rules. I like mm-hmm. the rules laid out. Somehow, somewhere, I like the rules laid out. And that's probably the weakest part of this drama, is they're kind of feeling out the rules and it doesn't always make sense. And some people can just kind of willingly suspend their disbelief there, but I can't. I want my system orderly.
Yeah, so, but isn't that life, though? It's not defined. Mm.
But this is drama land.
Right.
For me, though, it was the fact that they kept making it feel like in their head the rules were absolute.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out how they came to that conclusion.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, are you sure that's how that works?
No one has told you that.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it should have been more like, oh, maybe it's this, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. versus like, oh, it's definitely this. We need to do this, right? But anyway, I loved the manager. I loved, this was definitely convoluted, but it did, as you said, it gave them kind of a positive reason to be shifting fate versus, you know, trying to plot the death of her bestie and ex-husband. And I think that really helped in some ways. I'm still a little confused because, like, there were things that were put in place. Like, so there was like a top-notch doctor ready to go. So that mm-hmm. was, you know, so there were pieces that, you know, that thinking that it was going to be Ji-won, they were able to, you know, give this woman the best care she could get. We had the scene where she breaks apart the table, you know, like, so we know that she's not going to crack her head on that table or whatever, but like, I still was like, okay, but is that enough, right? And so, anyway, again, not being feeling secure in the rules of the world, because it felt like they kept sort of shifting them, even though they were saying they were absolutely certain that this is how it would be. But other than that, I would say yes, it was convoluted, but I liked it. Because I like that it showed that they were really good people trying to help another good person.
Mm-hmm. Amber, K-Muse gave this one to me because I think that we might have discussed this. I discussed it with somebody, but did the romance swooniness of the OTP fade at all in the second half? And did it bother us if it did fade a tad? So here is where I will give the show a bit of some leniency, only because I think that we have seen recently in the last year or two, the shorter dramas and how shortening it up a little bit can make the romance a little bit better, because we're not having that waning midsection where it just feels like they got together, they're happy, and then now we're kind of having this midsection before the very end where either they barely act like they're a couple or they're overly sweet and you're like, okay, where's the story? Where's the plot or whatever? So I do think that 16 episodes always kind of gives that feeling. And that's what happened with these guys. I felt like there was mostly plotting to try to get the things moved over. They had some swoony moments, but a lot of the stuff toward the end, especially like the last episode, the wedding scene and all that, it felt very like paint by number. I didn't get all the feels and I didn't like get all the goosebumps. Whereas like in comparison, I just finished a show where I will not give any spoilers because everybody, two of the people in here are still watching it, making their way through. But because of the way the romance built, the end of it was so swoony, although it wasn't like tons and tons of like typical romance type things. But I felt like it was just so strong because we had this base of like just taking care of each other type thing. Whereas I do think this OTP was taking care of each other and there was some of that foundation, but I don't know. There's just something that kind of faded and wasn't as exciting does it always have to be like that? I guess that's the big question when it comes to rom-coms or whatever this one is. I don't know, revenge com, revenge, row revenge or something. Rome revenge.
Rom
I don't
revenge.
Know.
Rom
revenge. There we go. I don't know because it's not. It was yeah because it's rom because it's it, but it's not com.
Oh no.
Anyway. So yeah, I just felt. I feel like sometimes when you have too much focus on some of the. You know, ooh, they're going to kiss and then they're going to do this and that. Then after that happens, then if there's not a lot of depth and other things that really make the couple who they are, that it just can kind of feel like blah. And I do feel like that's what happened with this show.
Yeah, because the third act breakup was based in noble idiocy.
Mm-hmm.
And that I hate that. I hate that trope so much. I hate the third act breakup. I love it when people can move around it, figure out how not to have that happen. But yeah, so maybe yes, and maybe they were trying to go for a maturation of their romance from the attraction phase into the more settled foundational we can build our lives phase. Because, you know, like the ending, the part that I actually liked the best was when they were the parents of the newborn twins and they were just so exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you know, that clicked for me because at that point, you know, they were parents, they were working together. And I'm like, okay, this is a relationship that works, but it's different than what we've been watching for the last 16 episodes. Mm-hmm. So I would have to say, yes, the romance faded. I could see where they were trying to move towards the more mature relationship. And I don't know if it succeeded since all I remember them is being sleep deprived. So.
Yeah. I have to say that I found the first part so swoony, like every little like holding her hand and asking permission and just every little thing was so like, oh my God, he loves her so much and she doesn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sort of moved into the second half and I'm annoyed at this like random breakup thing that they did because it just felt, as I said, contrived and like it just didn't make sense. It was out of character, so it made me kind of like eh. And then they did get back together and that's fine, but it didn't have the same like zing that I thought that the first part did. Still, I enjoyed it, but I would say that it did fade a bit.
Oh, I was bored. Noble idiocy is the dumbest trope, and I was bored. When you do that, and there's not a good murder in there, like, you know, nobody thought somebody was dead and that the other person killed them.
I mean, there was a murder, but like,
yeah,
but it wasn't the right murder. It wasn't the right murder. I was so bored during that part. I think I was pulling KMUs and I might have been reading something while I was watching through that. I struggled. I really struggled with staying with it through that because nothing that was happening was interesting because we had the noble idiocy and it didn't make sense.
And also what like when you normally noble idiocy is like, I'm going to do this for your own good kind of thing. Mm. But I almost felt like it wasn't fully explained why she felt the need to break up. Like, was it that, you know, she found out he had an ex-fiance and he didn't mention it? And I mean, like.
Well, no, because he was convinced that he was going to be dead in 10 years no matter what. And so, like, he was like. Trying to give her the opportunity for happiness with somebody else, Lee Yun-ho. And it's just like, you dumb, you don't know that. She's changing her fate. What means yours won't change too?
Right.
But all the sparks went away for everybody. We lost the sexiness. We lost the interest. It just went flat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so bored.
Well, speaking of bored.
Bored, yeah.
So Soomin shares why she's obsessed with Jiwon remaining miserable and were we shocked that this was the reason. So Soomin was mad at Jiwon because Jiwon's mom stole Soomin's dad. And so Soomin's dad didn't pay attention to her anymore. But the thing is Soomin is a sociopath through and through.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like a flimsy excuse. She got off on the high of manipulating Jiwon and making her miserable and then making her happy, like just totally leading her around by her emotions. That's why she did it. Like, the reason that she says that she gave, that was no. That was just the flimsy excuse. She just liked to jerk her around.
So I think that Suman's obsession and relationship with Ji-won was actually one of the most interesting parts of the story. I think that, one, the actress did a fabulous job of creating this. Like, she wasn't even set on making her miserable. She was just obsessed with being a part of her life and them being connected and her being dependent upon Soo-min. So, like, she got off on Ji-won being so, like, getting her happiness from her and them being, mm-hmm. I mean, like, her saved in her phone, like, she meant that. Like, she really did want them to be, like, it started out maybe for her to kind of get back at her for her dad, but it became this, like, stalker obsession of, like, her whole being was entangled with Ji-won. She even, like, after the, you know, getting what her husband and all of that, she realized, like, getting him had nothing to do with him. Like, it was all about Ji-won. So I felt like their relationship, and that's why I was kind of annoyed at bringing the ex-fiance in.
Yeah.
Because their two relationship and the back and forth with them and that obsession and that, like, her dad and mom, like, being the one, you know, that they were the cheaters and all that kind of stuff, that was so much more interesting. And Suman's relationship with her and obsession with her was so much more interesting than the other person, that I feel like we kind of missed out a little bit on, especially, like, if she did kill the mother-in-law in the webtoon series. I think that could have been some really good scenes, because the actress was just so good that I'm kind of sad but about that. But so, yeah, I felt that their relationship was probably one of the most interesting of the drama.
I might have missed that. You said that in the webtoon, she kills the mother-in-law, Soo-min does?
She does, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
And then the husband tries to kill her by, like, cutting the brakes or something. But because he finds out his mom is dying in the hospital, he jumps in the car and forgets that he did it, and then he dies that way.
Now, so he
dies by his own stupidity.
Yeah, that's totally in character, though, right?
Yes,
it's totally in character. So, and that's why a lot of people that watch the webtoon are like, but there was other material to, and I get you're trying to make it a separate entity, and so I comparing them, I just think, again, Soo-min and Min-hwan were very interesting, well laid out, very dimensional, like, characters that we could have kind of had a little bit more, you know, story that surrounded them toward the end.
So nobody thinks that Soo-min, growing up with her dad not interested in her and abandoning her constantly, and Ji-won with the father who adored her and treasured her, I totally think that Soo-min was angry because Ji-won's mother came into her life. But I'm pretty sure that even before Ji-won's mother came into her life, her father was not reliable. And she wants to make sure, you know, during a time where she's utterly miserable because her father pays no attention to her, which is part of what made her crazy pants.
Mm-hmm.
Because she never had anybody really love her. She sees that even though Ji-won's mother has left, she's not unhappy. And she wants her to be as miserable as she is, because now she's having to deal with the mother. And it's not fair that Ji-won is happy and she is not. And she, you know, I think that she really wants to take over Ji-won's life from a very early age and have Ji-won be like if she could make them one person, she would.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But and she wouldn't want Ji-won to disappear totally, though. That's why I'm saying, like, her obsession, like, they're so intertwined. Yes, maybe she wants to take over her life, but I think she'd soon find that she missed the entity of Ji-won because she's that obsessed with her.
Yeah,
because she doesn't enjoy it unless it makes Ji-won suffer.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So she needs that codependency on her. Yeah, she needs her.
And she wants to have her to control. Like, right. I think that Suman is absolutely sociopathic. And Ji-won is the target for this because of the circumstances. She would have found somebody else, I'm sure. But in this case, I mean, Ji-won was perfect for this because she also desperately wanted this friend. And so, you know, and she believed that Suman was her best friend. And so to the point where she was completely blind to all of the things that she was doing. And then Suman had cultivated this, you know, personality where everyone, you know, loved her and thought she was amazing. And then she undermined Ji-won. Like, that was such an interesting dynamic. I wanted to see that go all the way to the end. And it, I mean, it did, but I just didn't feel like we needed that other piece because there was so much here that we could have done with that. I was not expecting though for them to have that relationship. Like that was a surprise to me. Which is odd. Maybe because I was so invested in all the stuff that was going on, it just didn't even occur to me that that there might be that kind of a connection. I was like, oh. So yes, I was actually surprised when that came about.
So what is the worst thing that Suman does during the second half of the drama? there's a lot. I feel like her conspiring with her father and mother to kill Ji-won. I mean, she tries to kill her again, but I think using her own mother to do it, I think that was probably the worst thing that, and not having any type of like feelings about it. It felt it just was like, you know, she just did it. And then, you know, again, I still think that anything that she would have done to get rid of Ji-won, she would have immediately like regretted it and realized like, oh, now I've taken away the most important thing in my life. But she was intent on killing her. And I think using her own mother and then her dad to do it was probably the worst thing in the second half.
Oh, I don't know. Trying to kill her at the lake was pretty good.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, you know, she's such a snake in the grass. She's such a snake in the grass. And I really liked the justice of how all that played out. But I, you know, because she never expects Ji-won to fight back. So that was where I was interested. I'm like all over like the whole slugger. Just slug her, shove her head under and go. Not that I wanted her to kill her. I didn't want Ji-won to
go
kill
to the
her.
Lake with Seal Kita.
Exactly.
And you're pretty safe because I won't go into water I can't touch. And I don't swim in lakes. I don't swim in any water I can't see because I live in Oklahoma and our lakes have turtles as big as me and you.
So my question though is, what if one of us accidentally fell into the water? Would you jump in to save us?
Oh no, I'm not a strong enough swimmer. I'd be throwing something in for you to catch. We would both go down. We would go down together. And I love you, but I would like to try to save you and not just kill both of us. I'm not a strong enough swimmer, hence why I don't go into water I can't really touch in.
Yeah. That makes sense. I'm with you, Sialkita, as far as like, it wasn't I wouldn't say that it was the worst thing that she did. But for me, that was the most chilling moment when she, you know, backed up and then threw herself into the water and then basically waited to see if she would be saved. And when she went down and she opened her eyes and she just had that creepy smile of like, she was fine. She was going to die.
Right.
She gladly would have done that. And then she was felt so much like the sense of victory because her friend, former friend, had jumped into the water to save her. Like, and she was perfectly willing for them both to go down together. Like, what crazy pants level of obsession is that? Like, I was like, that's when I really started to sit up like, wow, she is next level. You know, I mean, she faked her pregnancy and bought it on the internet. She, I mean, like all of the things that she did along the way, I was like, okay, she's really, I don't know. I mean, I also think that the fact that she can mimic her best friend's handwriting, and she knows all of her passwords and everything, and was and uploaded the apology letter. That was pretty evil too. I mean, in addition to, like, you know, killing people and whatnot, but but just the level that she would stoop to. And for me, the most important piece is just, she truly believed that, like, that she deserved Jiwon's love and attention. And she just was in shock every time she pulled back and didn't let her manipulate her the way she always had. It was brilliant. The acting was brilliant, and that dynamic was brilliant.
See, and I was going to say the murder of Min Won, but everything else that you've listed, I'm like, well, that was actually worse.
Yeah. Well, that was expected. I mean, we kind of expected her to kill him. He wasn't.
That, like, was like the culmination of their relationship.
He was actively trying to kill her at the moment. Right. So, yeah. Like, you know. Yeah.
But that's just removing another thing that Jiwon can have. Because even though he's horrible, Jiwon had him first, and she's never getting him again.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if she wants him or not. He's got to go away. So, which of the evil characters' comeuppance was the most satisfying? Oh, easily Su Min. I loved seeing her have that massive meltdown, go to pieces, no matter how hard she tried. Everything that she's done in the past, all her machinations, all her things that she has plotted and planned and undermined, and it all comes crashing down. She's literally standing there, holding on to Jiwon's leg, acting so pathetic. And then all I know, guys, is that at that moment, I was fully interested. I was cheering at the TV. I was like, yes.
You know, I know that we have, like, the, yeah, Su Min is like the character you love to hate. I could not stand the tool of a husband. And so even it wasn't really his death that I was most excited about. It was the time when she went to meet the parents and she got all dressed up and came out, and then she flipped him on his back. And it was like the culmination of all of that judo training that she had been doing. I loved that. And so I know it wasn't like the culminating kind of comeuppance, but to me, that was such a satisfying moment. So that lives on in my memory.
Oh, that one was so good, because it was like the beginning of her change.
Yeah.
You know, she'd been preparing for it, but that was her first expression of, I'm doing this on my terms. Feathered sleeves aside.
Yeah.
Yeah, Su Min's falling apart. I mean, is there any other way to top that? And the only other one that I found as satisfying was Yura being just outmaneuvered by Su Min. Like, just how neatly that was done, and she couldn't do a thing. That was, I don't know, to me that was really impactful too.
So I'm kind of torn with Su Min, because, like, she still gets to be in prison and in her own little, like, world. Like, she's still super convinced of everything that she's ever been convinced of, and is spreading those lies and everything to people that she's interacting with. So I don't know. I mean, I guess there's not any other than her dying, there's not any other thing that she could get other than having to go to prison. But one thing, and I was earlier when I was talking about the husband, I thought we'd talk a little bit more about, like, his kind of, like, progression. But so I kind of want to add that here is that, like, he, some of the things that they did have focus in after we kind of got a little bit away from the ex-fiance, but, like, him choking her, hit just the way that he, like, that progression, and then her actually not being able to do anything in that moment, and that focus on it really showed and highlighted again that he was always an abusive husband, and that he really like maybe flipped, maybe Suman dying and him ending up in I did like when he lost his job and he had to, like, his mom was like, you know, and having to, like, all it, but he still was just sitting in bed at home, like, putting everything on Suman. So, like, other than dying, I don't know that he would have, or being in prison forever, like, to be, you know, but he didn't do anything in this timeline that would have gotten him. Well, I mean, he did participate in trying to kill her. So,
and he choked her, and, you know,
right. Yeah. He did choke her. Well, and that was like, he went to, I don't know, like, the him going to jail and then he ended up getting out and all that kind of stuff. It was one of those where, but Suman mentally was just, like, gone, but, like, he was very, like, calculating and in ways just as bad as she was. And I'm glad that he it did end up dying, more so because then he can never come back and try to hurt Ji-won, because he's just, like, he's just one of those where it's like, I feel like she wouldn't have been safe if, with the progression that he had throughout the drama, if that hadn't happened, or if he wasn't put away for a long time, and, you know, 5 years or whatever, he'd be out, and that would be something I'd be worried about. So just to be able to kind of close that up and move on, I guess him dying probably was the best thing for everybody. But yeah.
All right. So the final 30 minutes of the drama, it might have been even more than 30 minutes. Do we like that all those small story arcs were concluded, or is all that filler pointless? Okay. So I think we all sort of were on the same page with this, but it sort of felt like it was, I don't know, like the happy tour at the end kind of thing, but it felt like a lot of it. And I did love seeing them together and all of that, but I think maybe it was just a little too much. To me, it really felt like, oh, we concluded the most important stuff and now we have time for a photo shoot. That's kind of how I felt at the end. So I would say that, yeah, it felt like a lot of filler. I would have liked maybe 10 minutes of it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing I talked to my daughter about. I was like, what is all this? And she's like, oh, this is like all the epilogues from the webtoon. So it was fan service in a way, giving all the conclusions. Because, like, Eun-ho and the sister, like, have a whole drama within a drama in the webtoon. Like, there's the whole separation because they're on different continents and therefore they break up because if they saw each other, they couldn't bear to be apart, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was just like, oh, hey.
Oh. So,
yeah, I think I liked it just because I wanted, like, I really wanted to see Eun-ho and the sister get together because a foodie and a chef, I mean, what more perfect combination could you have? And just to see manager Ju-ron being a little more happy, even though we didn't get as much of her. And then, I don't know, I think we got maybe too much. Can I say this? We got too much of the OTP, seeing all the children. But if it was fan service for the webtoon fans, then I can kind of forgive it. And it doesn't bother me one way or the other.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of fairly normal for a rom-com that you have those last 30 minutes be a lot of the stuff. And there were a lot of different storylines pulled together. I know some of the, like, when they were all together, there was just some of the pieces of, like, I feel like they could have gelled better as a group. And I would have been a little bit more interested in some of the other storylines. But I know, like, the manager, or what was, I can't remember the guy's name. Like, everybody was just really rooting for them to end up as a couple. And we kind of got that a little bit. They were very interesting. I love the actor idol who plays Eun-ho, but I felt like his character probably was a lot more interesting in the webtoon, or maybe just fit better into a webtoon style character thing. Cause I liked him, but I also wasn't enamored with his character as much as I think I could have been with a different character description acting. I don't know. But it was, I feel like my biggest complaint is how long it took her to walk down the aisle.
Oh my gosh, like, yes. I think that wedding dress was PPL.
It was. And so, like, how long, like, they really had to show the whole, we had a fashion show of the wedding dress and everything. And then it just felt like, because of that, the wedding, we've seen a lot of K-drama weddings, and that one was definitely the most, like, sterile feeling, because it just took so long for her to even get down there and all of that. But and they did want to show the difference of her original wedding dress versus the one that she got to wear for her actual wedding and all of that. So I don't know. I think it was a fairly normal. I did like seeing them as tired parents, and seeing the aunt with her, you know, nieces and nephews and the kids and all that stuff. So I found that interesting and a nice addition. But yeah.
But wouldn't it have been better if they'd done like little epilogues, like the webtoon, where, you know, they could have teased us with, here's the ending. Oh, but wait, there's more. I mean, I feel like it would have been a lot more effective, because we were just like,
happy scene, like scene after scene after scene after, like, it definitely was like,
but there was nothing to break it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they had like been like epilogue, second epilogue, oh wait, there's more. I mean, it would have built some anticipation. Oh, I want to see that. But instead I'm like, it's the longest wedding ever. And all the PPL. Oh, babies. They're cute. They're tired. You know, it was good. It wrapped it up. It wrapped it up really well. But it wasn't as satisfying because it was so drawn out. Like, I was happy with the ending, but I'm not going to want to go and watch that ending again.
Agreed.
I'm just kidding, me.
Final question. Would we recommend this drama, and what did we rate it out of 10 stars, points, whatever you use? So I would say overall, yes. I think it probably worked better as a binge, and maybe things would flow a little smoother, but I don't know for sure because I did not binge it. And I gave it an 8.5 out of 10.
Oh, that's fair. Oh, sorry. I'm talking out of turn.
It's okay.
I'm like, I was all like, here I with my
change
opinion.
Change anything and... down there. So... And I was just going to say, I actually am pretty much almost exactly with the Mokne of like, I think it'd be a good binge watch. I think all of our complaints and everything were mostly because we were watching it broke up week after week. And I think that they would probably just flow through it and it wouldn't be as big of a deal. I think I'd probably give it an 8 versus an 8.5, but it may go up after time if I'm thinking about the characters, although I think Soomin might be the one that I think about the most. So I don't know. We shall see.
Excuse me. I'm a drama geek. I would give it an 8, but I would give Soomin a 15 out of 10. She was the best villain. She was the best villain.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I'm not good at that whatever point stuff because I don't use my drama list. So I would just say that I would recommend it, but I would just tell people, like, just know that the beginning is going to really suck you in. And then, you know, the ending might, I am curious. So I kind of want to read the webtoon or watch. Yeah. Investigate that a little bit just because I mean I'm curious, but because I really loved that. I mean, I was completely obsessed with this show to the point that I made my husband watch it on the plane and we binge watched it together. And we could not wait for the next episode to come out. So I actually don't know if he finished it because we've been watching the crap together. But anyway, so I would recommend it. I think and I would definitely agree that Soomin is probably one of my favorite villain characters, like, maybe ever. Like, she really, because she's so that narcissistic sociopathic way, and the fact that she could just turn on a dime and smile sweetly, oh my gosh, what a great actress and a great character. So yeah, I would still say go watch it. It's a good drama.
I want to see her be a serial killer.
After reading an interview from her, I think the next character she picks is not going to be somebody she has to get dark about. She's probably going to pick something happy. And I do think that she'll get offers to, because I don't know if she's done like a female lead.
No, she's
She's always been a second.
She's been a first in two. She was the lead in Devilish Joy, and she was the lead in Please Don't Date Him.
B-movies.
Well, no. Yeah. But no, gotcha. She has done leads, but I think this will definitely push her into a higher level of dramas for sure. Song Ha-yoon is the name of the actress, and yeah, she definitely proved her capabilities in this drama.
I am cheering her on.
Absolutely. But I'm also hoping she doesn't get like pigeonholed into villain characters because she's capable of more than that.
Way more.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, thank you for joining us. We'd love to hear what you thought about this episode. You can reach us on Twitter, on Facebook, or on our Patreon page. The links are in our show notes.
We love blogging about Asian dramas, but behind the scenes, we have so much more to say, and we want to share it with you. And talking is so much faster than typing.